That's a glitch in the system. Those shouldn't be allowed by the CBA.
It looks like they could cut him if they wanted to after the 2027 season. That's when the dead cap becomes 17 million.
They should have, I guess this would kind of defeat the purpose, but the cap hit shouldn't be the cap hit. So like for instance, for Deshaun Watson, say they want to cut him and he's owed $150 million. You should be able to cut him and there's a cap on what the dead money is. It shouldn't be 171. It should be like
But this is how teams buy cap space. That's what the Browns did. They bought cap space by saying, we can't cut Deshaun Watson. We'll make his dead cap $170 million. And they get that money somehow. I don't know how this works.
Well, they stuck with it then. That's their they didn't have to restructure.
Well, they probably think, hey, we could use this money to go get a quarterback. Who's on the market?
They can go get
Can we
Russell Wilson.
get Gardner Minshew? Well, does Russell Wilson play a football game this year? Is he in Pittsburgh for vibes?
I don't know what vibes they'll be. Well, you know, he's always a positive guy.
Oh, he is. And Goody's, I think, just turned 20 years old.
Shout out. Shout out, Sierra. Love you,
Indeed.
CeCe.
Listen, oh, CeCe. Okay. I thought it was, you know, you talked about the offensive end. You talked about Brock and you know, maybe leaving a little bit to be desired there in terms of those first two drives, getting six out there. It was six total, meaning it was a game changer when Fred Warner got that pick six. And I think that was a
Come on, man.
theme when I think that was a theme for the San Francisco 49ers. That play opened things up and the story became what the San Francisco 49ers were doing defensively.
100%. Playmaker.
Oh, yeah.
Playmaker, 54.
Oh,
I try not to jump out the window because I love Patrick Willis. Love Patrick Willis. I don't ever feel like I'm just gonna say a linebacker is better, a 49ers linebacker is better than Patrick. I can't say those things. But Fred Warner, he's amazing. He is amazing. When, like you said, when he made that play, when he got that interception, got up, took it back to the house, it was like, oh, everything's all right. The leader is making sure nothing crazy happens here today. Because it was one of those things where it's like, man, come on, man. We should at least be up 10-0. 6-0. Crazy things can happen. All of a sudden it's 7-6 going into the half. He said, no, I'm making this play right now. The wherewithal, the presence, the ability to get up and run that thing into the end zone. That's my dog right there. That's my dog. Fred Warner is a special, special player. So, yeah, the 49ers handle business, man. They handle business. That was a game they needed. And it really was, we joke about it, but it really was one of those games where I personally wasn't really tripping about how they got the win. It didn't matter. It was just getting the win. And I'm glad they got that, but they even looked pretty good doing it. So that was good to see as well. So
they did. And now it's one of those things where I said last week, I'm not going to praise the Jets too much. I'm not going to overly praise the Jets. I'm not going to say all of a sudden they're a good football team because they beat the lowly New England Patriots. I do think the Patriots are one of the two worst teams in the league. I think it's them and it's Carolina. I understand that the Jaguars are 0-4. I don't look at the Jaguars and go, that is clearly one of the worst teams in the league. Like, there's a reason. I don't know if Drake May can play quarterback. I have no idea if he's a good quarterback or not. I know he shouldn't play for this team, though. Putting him out there right now is a detriment. You talked about this. We talked about this. I think it was with Bryce and Andy Dalton versus Jacoby and Drake May, but we talked about that snap, that split-second decision-making. That might be what Jacoby Brissett has, that split-second decision-making that Drake May doesn't. That might be what's keeping Drake May alive. The fact that, hey, we can't protect our quarterback. We need someone who can see things a little bit quicker. And even if the ball is going out of bounds, even if he's just, you know, just short throwing it to a receiver, whatever, we can't put Drake in a position to where he has to do that.
No, they can't.
And that is a bad football team. Mm. They have some components there that I do like, though, particularly on the defensive
end. They're not bad on defense.
Exclusively on the defensive end. Yeah. They have some components there I like, and I can see what Jerod Mayo has there and how they'd like to put that together. But sometimes the Jets aren't a good football team, but the 49ers are. And sometimes when you have moments like that, games like that, good team, bad team are indifferent. Like, you can build off of it. Mm-hmm. And Nick Bosa needed a game, and he had one. I think another positive is you talked about how well Brock played. This wasn't a Juwan Jennings day like it was last week. Right. Even though Juwan Jennings was the leading receiver, you got big plays from Debo. You got big play from Brandon Ayuk. But that's something to build on, right? Like, sure, you want an increased number of receptions. You want probably an increased number of targets. But if the idea is that the San Francisco 49ers have all of these playmakers, Brock found them. He found Debo in a big playmaking moment. He found Brandon Ayuk in a big playmaking moment. He found Kittle in the end zone. He found Juwan Jennings for the second game in a row repeatedly throughout the game. He spread the ball around. And then you had Jordan Mason with another really, really good performance. I said Jordan Mason was leading the league in rushing until Derrick Henry took the field that night. And then Derrick Henry decided, I'm going to lead the league in rushing.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty dope accolade for Jordan Mason. It's a pretty dope accolade for the San Francisco 49ers. So those types of things are it's more of like a look, see, this is what we can do. The competition doesn't matter. What we do is what matters. We may face more resistance when we take on the Arizona Cardinals, but this is what we're capable of doing when we're locked in. And I thought the way that the game played out, with the way Brock Purdy moved the ball around, and the fact that Jordan had a really big second half on the ground.
He wears people down.
I think that bodes really, really well for the San Francisco 49ers moving forward. Now, the Jets fell flat on their face after playing the New England Patriots.
That was nasty.
Much to the delight of me. But I don't expect that to happen with the San Francisco 49ers. You pointed this out. We didn't frame it in this way. We could talk more about it tomorrow. The Cardinals were in a prove-it game, and they proved it, that the Commanders are they're legit.
Oof.
That football team is for real. Mm-hmm. That quarterback is the truth, and there is something to watch there. The Eagles and the Vikings. Mm. I'm not going to discredit the Vikings whatsoever. The Eagles proved it. I kind of looked at them like, hey, you know, we might be a little off on them. I don't know that we are, and that Vikings team is – at some point, they're going to have to be taken seriously. But we asked if the Commanders, the Commanders or Eagles had a chance to separate themselves from the Cowboys and the Giants this week, and the Washington football team absolutely did it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, the other thing about the 49ers that I want to talk about, ask you about, ask Jesse about, they're 2-2. And because maybe there's a certain level of play that's expected all the time in San Francisco or anything else like that, is it possible, like, because people are like, oh, this team, they just ain't got it. They're not it. They lose to the Rams, all this other stuff. They haven't played that bad all year. You think about the games they played. The Vikings game, a good Vikings team on the road against a good defense. They are a play or two away from winning that game.
Yeah.
Like, they lost the game to a good team, to what we think is a good team, and it was there for them. It was close. They brought those interception. They don't convert a fourth and goal and all this other stuff, and they end up losing that game. The Rams game, as frustrating as that loss was, I don't think we can make it like they just played bad that game.
One play here, one play there.
They had a bad final 10 minutes or so where things spiraled out of control, and they lost the game. They lost the game, but this thought, and then you got the Patriots game, right? Mm-hmm. This thought that the Niners are just, they don't have it. They're not looking good. They're dealing with injuries with all this as well. It's just what some people believe is their best player. And he still hadn't played that bad. Like, I would say overall, they've probably played about 70% of what they could. They're 2-2, should be 3-1, and that may come back to haunt you in a little later. But I don't think they played that bad to start this season. I just don't. But I'd like to know what you think and what Jesse thinks.
Well, I agree. I realize you wanted to tease it.
Well, no,
what a tease.
No, because I always get confused if James isn't here.
No, you're right. We're actually, I think it's a good idea. We'll break. We'll talk more about it. But De'Aaron spoke.
Oh.
So we're going to come back and we'll hear from De'Aaron Fox at Media Day today. We'll talk more about the Sacramento Kings, the San Francisco 49ers, the Las Vegas Raiders as well. There's two football games tonight. There's a win and stay alive game for the Atlanta Braves going on right now. They're up 1-0 in the top of the sixth. I don't know how much you watched that first game. No, so if Atlanta wins, they're both in. The Mets won the first game in a just classic. Where the Mets scored 8 runs in the final 2 innings to win 8-7. Just awesome.
Oh my.
So the Mets are in. Either Atlanta wins and they're in, or the Mets win a second one and the Diamondbacks are in. We're in the top of the 6 right now, so we're probably not going to see the end of that one together. We'll come back and we'll hear from De'Aaron Fox, and we'll just cross our fingers when it comes to De'Aaron's language at Media Day here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, man. Let's check in with De'Aaron Fox. Thoughts and prayers to Jesse, who's going to have to navigate the dump button.
Do we get a dump in this one, or what are we thinking?
I'm going to say no.
This is a long video. This is 8 minutes.
Yeah, I'm low-key scared, bro.
I'm going, yeah.
Remember, when I hit the dump, that's it.
Yeah, no, 8 seconds of dump time. I got you. I don't think we make it the full 8 minutes. Here is De'Aaron Fox at Media Day today.
Looked like it was a little crazy.
Yeah, it was a lot. If anybody's ever, I don't know if any of y'all been to China.
Yeah.
No.
Been to China?
Not with Steph, though.
Not with Steph, though. I can tell you that.
It's a lot. But it was cool. Great experience. And obviously seeing the way that they are over him, like, it's another level.
Are you happy with how the shoe came out and everything like
Yeah,
that?
definitely. And I'm excited for you guys to see more colors.
Not to say that you're Mr. Incognito over there, but do you blend with when you're around him because so much focus is on him?
Definitely. A little bit. Not like a whole bunch, but his, like, there's no words to describe how it was for him. Like, I'm like, I couldn't imagine being you. So.
But being a part of the growth of the game internationally, I mean, being able to make a trip like that to be recognized and help grow the game of basketball, for someone who just loves the game in general, I imagine that's pretty...
Yeah, I mean, it was a great experience. Great experience being able to see the fans. Like, it was one guy that, like, followed us for like 4 days.
Oh god,
not 4, like 2.5 days. Like, wild. Like, chased the car on a bike, on a moped. He got in a taxi once. Like, it was
Jesus Christ.
And then Steph gave him an autograph, right? And like the kid, he just stops. But there was another guy that was there next to him that didn't get one, and he's like mad. I'm like, bro, you don't know what he went through the last 2 days. Like, you just saw him get that. You don't know what he actually did. But no, it was cool. It was a great experience for sure.
You're not encouraging people in Sacramento to do that, though, right?
No, don't do that. No.
As someone who's been here for years now, I mean, does it feel weird to step into a media day and not have Harrison Barnes around?
Yeah, it's funny because I got asked the question, who am I most looking forward to playing against? I'm like, man, as a point guard, like, every night you got somebody, so I don't really have anybody. I'm like, I guess it could be HB. Like, he's been my longest teammate that I've had since I've been in the league 5.5 years, so it's going to be weird and different, you know, not seeing him in the locker room.
But you know Chris is there. You know Chris is there, though. You're going to have to play against Chris.
Yeah, but...
Nice. Did you get to choose some of the performance features on your shoe, or was it all just
like... Oh, so, like, I was big on the strap, because I don't know if y'all remember the Bloodlines, Brandon Jennings shoe. I'm like, that was a big inspiration for me when coming to the shoe. Flow was a big part, so it's kind of the same as, like, the Curry 1s.
Yeah, same
question. Yeah, so he's using that a lot. And I mean, that's a big reason that I actually signed with Curry Brand. When I started wearing them in December of 22. Yeah, December...
22,
yeah. When I started wearing them December of 22. I kind of had a foot problem, and that kind of went away as I wore them throughout the season. So, that was a big factor. I'm like, if you like the performance of a shoe or of a shoe company, that makes it easy.
So you like the court feel of it, or is it more
the
like
court feels great? Okay. Court feels great, and the cushion is great. So I think I want people to love the design, but I want people to love them even more, being able, like, having them on your feet and being able to be on the court.
Is like the lateral containing pretty good on it too?
Yeah, everything. Like, I don't know if y'all ever see, sometimes I'll be walking, like, I just trip. Like, if you don't pick your foot up, it just sticks to the ground. So that's a good problem to have, for sure.
What were you going
to
say?
Are you expecting anybody else in the league to be rocking them?
I don't know. I think it'd be dope if that definitely happens. So I think it'd be cool. I think if people put the product on their feet, I think they'll love it.
DeMar saying that he chose to come to Sacramento specifically because he feels this is the best place for him to come to win, to join to you guys and what you've been building over the last handful of years. How rewarding is that to hear a guy of his status say, I think this is my best chance?
I definitely think it's great. I mean, DeMar was drafted in 2009, and I told him, I was like, bro, I was in middle school. I was in middle school when you got drafted. I was either in fifth grade or in sixth grade, one of the two. I went to high school in 12, 13. So, yeah, I think when he was drafted, I would have been going into the sixth grade, I want to say. So just being able to see the career that he's had and all the big games that he's played in, and then being able to play with him while he's still playing at a high level, I think is definitely a blessing. I think he adds a whole other dynamic to our team.
How would you describe that, his presence, what he brings, like the attributes, and just how you think he's going to fit in and what he can do?
Well, I think for starters is we draw the same type of defenders. So, like, 9 times out of 10, I'm being guarded with some type of wing. So I think we take the pressure off of each other in that aspect. But I think with him being on the court, you know, whenever he has the ball in his hands especially, I mean, he's one of the best ISO scorers in the league. He's been that for a long period of time. People talk about his age, him being 35 already. But, I mean, he played the most minutes in the league last year. So your age doesn't matter. You're playing at a high level and you're playing a lot of minutes. So however old you are, it doesn't really matter. And then just his playmaking, being able to be on the court with him, him talking about if a double team's coming from this way or from this way, what he wants to happen. I definitely think his playmaking is a very underrated part of his game. And I think whenever you're actually in a gym with him and you kind of understand his thought process, you kind of see it.
How explosive can the offense be given that, Darren?
I mean, he like I said, he gives us a whole other dynamic. I mean, he's one of the best ISO guys in the league. If you don't run a double at him, then he has a field day. And I think for us as a team, for me as a player, he gets you open shots. He gets guys open shots. So with that, I mean, like I said, it adds a whole other dynamic to us as a team.
What was one of your focuses on the court this offseason that you wanted to bring into this year?
I mean, obviously continue to be a better shooter. I think I shot 84 from free throw line after All-Star break, so wanting to be a more consistent free throw shooter as well. Absolutely. I think we are middle of the pack. As a free throw team, last year we win 51, 52 games, and now you're not looking at the playoffs from the outside looking in. So in that aspect, and then, like I said, just having DeMar on this team gives me a little bit I wouldn't say like more freedom, but he'll get guys open shots. So I think, I mean, I shot 39% from catch and shoot last year, but I was only shooting like 2 a game. So hopefully being able to get easier looks ups that percentage and don't have to shoot as many off the dribble threes. And then just being able to get my mid-range and my finishing to where it was before last year. And I think just the finishing, I mean, I had an ankle injury early in the season, so I think that kind of played a little bit into it, but just trying to be able to be a three-level scorer, an elite three-level scorer.
Darren, a lot is being made about who will get that starting job alongside you at guard. How excited are you to see that competition in training camp and
I think,
how it plays out?
I think competition is always great for a team. Like, you go into it and you have guys that are like fighting for a spot, and obviously it's not, no one's out there going to be trying to hurt each other, but you get the best out of each other, you get the best out of a team when you're actually fighting for position. So I think it'll be a good battle.
You were expecting a big level player, right? I mean, going into summer, you thought you'd be pretty confident you'd be able to land someone like him?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't even know who was all free agents, to be honest. So, but whenever we did, like I said, I mean, that's a great feeling knowing that you have a guy who is at the stage in his career where he wants to win and he chooses you because he feels like he has a chance to win. So you have only a select few teams that can really be considered contenders, and we want to be one of those teams.
The excitement that you've shown for Domas when he got here was obviously through the roof, the pressure he takes off of you. I imagine it was probably similar with DeRozan.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen what DeMar has done. I mean, DeMar's going to year, what, 15? 16? Something like 16. 16? Yeah, he's been in the league for a long time. He's played at an extremely high level for a long time. And he just adds to what we can do.
To talk about that culture that you guys have created the past few years, right? And that he wanted to come here. And how did you establish that, and how does that help you become a better player with, depending on your guys and the culture that you've really created here?
And I think we're still continuing to build that. I think obviously Mike and his staff it was an extreme shift from the previous season, but most of the guys who was on the team for that year weren't on the team the previous year, so they didn't see that. But you want to continue to build towards that, and that has to do with every single day that you're coming in here for practice or games, no matter who you're playing against. Like we always say, sometimes you're not going to play well. That just is the way that it is. That's where we're human. But you come in with the same mentality no matter who you're playing against, and I think that's where cultures change. When you can have that same mentality, regardless if you're playing the best team in the league or the worst team in the league, if you don't shoot well, that is what it is. But you have to control the other things that you're able to control.
8 minutes and 42 seconds. Not a single dump button was pushed.
Wow. Look at.
I'm a little shocked. I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
Bro, because there was a couple times. Like, I thought we might get something when they were asking about, like, he was trying to remember what grade he was in when DeRozan was drafted or whatever. And I thought he was going to be like, oh, F. I don't know.
Yeah, he usually does it casually. Yeah.
That's what I thought he was going to do, too.
But nah, man. Just. Did it for the kids, man. He did it for the kids.
You imagine Darren's like, yeah, I'm really working on not cussing in interviews this year. I'm really focused on that this offseason.
They were taking bets in the chat, too, when the curse was going to happen. Some people were saying 3 minutes and 26 seconds. Didn't happen.
It's the new frozen ham. When does De'Aaron cuss? I absolutely thought the same thing you did when he was trying to recall when he was in high school or when he was in junior high. And I love that what is junior high to you?
Junior high?
Yeah, like the grades.
What grades, though?
Oh, 7th through 8th.
That's what I think. Like,
for me, it's 6th through 8th.
Yeah, it might be.
I think it's 5th through 8th.
Now, that's extreme. I haven't heard that one.
No?
But I don't want to say it's just a SAC Unified thing, but it does vary. Because when I worked at that middle school in L.A. or in Tustin, Orange County, it was 6th through 8th.
Kenny in L.A.?
Yeah. It was 6th through 8th, and I was tripping when I saw that. I was like, "Yeah, it's a middle school." I was like, "Oh, those 7th and 8th graders." Oh, we got 6th graders too.
But it's elementary school.
Yeah, do they come over here after school or something like? No, and it's just normal to everybody. So, see, you know what? It might not be a bad thing either. That's a whole nother discussion for a whole nother day.
I turned out all right.
Well, getting that 6th grade year, being around kids that are 2 years older than you, it kind of humbles you, first of all. Whatever you thought was going on in 5th grade, it ain't happening no more. And then by the time they get done with 8th grade, they might be a little bit more ready for high school. But and on the flip side, Jesse, RIP, I turned out all right.
Shout out to the education system.
Yeah, 7th and 8th is good though.
Fred Warner dealing with an ankle injury. We already knew that. He's going to be day-to-day this week, according to Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan just beginning his media availability now. So I'm guessing the fact that we didn't start with a so-and-so is out for 6 weeks. There were no catastrophic injuries coming out of that game. Jordan Elliott will be day-to-day as well, as he's dealing with a knee injury. Again, Kyle Shanahan speaking to the media right now. We'll pass along to you anything of note. I think the most important thing was Fred Warner.
Yeah.
Fred Warner, and it was pretty obvious yesterday, was not dealing with a very, very serious injury as he wanted to get back into the football game and play.
Yeah.
And we kind of hypothesized that Kyle saw the score come down after the fumble, got the ball back, 49ers score. I think they went up 7. I don't remember how many they were up by at that point. And Kyle said, "Now you're good, big fella. I think we can get the job done at this point."
It feels like that's usually against what Kyle typically does. Like Kyle believes in, I'm going to play my best players as long as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're available, I'm going to play them. I'm going to keep giving Christian McCaffrey the ball. You know, like, that's just what it is. And a lot of people hate that or whatever, but I kind of understand that too. Like, we're here to play. And I'm going to have my best players out there for as long as possible. But I think Greg Olsen was talking about it on the broadcast. It was a good sign that Fred Warner was still in uniform, still engaging, was standing up the whole time. And yeah, the injury report was an ankle, but he was out there. So it felt like, cover your ears, D-Lo. Felt like one of those things, if it was a playoff game.
Well, shout out Alvin.
He could have came back. I saw Alvin today, too, by the way.
Alvin's still here.
Alvin's still
that
here.
That is fantastic.
I didn't even think about the fact that, oh, Alvin's still here. Yeah,
it's been like 4 years. Yeah. It's not, but that's dope. We need Alvin Ginger here.
I saw Alvin. He gave me a little handshake, kind of like, I don't really know who you are, but you look familiar. Well, thanks, man. Good to see you. Don't know who you are, but good to see you. Give me one of those handshakes.
No, I think Alvin absolutely knows who you are.
Yeah, it was dicey today.
Oh.
It was touch and go
KC
today.
In L.A. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that that's true. I feel like if Alvin, either, I think Alvin knew who I was. Either that or he is the greatest seller of all time. Because I introduced myself to him. So like he was like, no, I absolutely know who you are. He knows who you are.
Oh, no.
Well, all right, Zabo, that's not okay. That's not okay, Zay. Come on, man. Katrina might be more on it. I don't know. Courtside Kenny.
Nah, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. Or maybe he was just engaged in another conversation. Because I was talking to the Louis Vuitton Don, Mark Jones, and I was talking to him some, and Alvin was, he's like waiting for me to finish so he could tell Mark something. So when
the opening was there,
I was like, "What's up?"
Pal.
I was like, "What's up?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, hit me up, Mark. Hey, let's So I was kind of like,
"Beat it, about kid. Time.
Beat it, kid. Get out of here." Yeah, man.
Like Jesse said, I did to Katie. Beat it, kid.
That's terrible. What he did at the lunch quad at El Camino. That's what he did.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, I'm glad Fred Warner, day to day. I think Fred plays on Sunday, but we talked about it a little bit earlier. He's the one, man.
Yeah, he's the one. Fred's a bad boy.
He's the one. I feel like we got a shot as long as Fred is there.
I'm with you. What'd you think about 97?
I thought he was good. I thought he got pressure on the quarterback a lot. Finally got the sack and the strip sack and the fumble and all this other stuff. So I was glad to see that from him. You know, there were times I thought, and Kyle would know better than I would. He dives into the numbers a little better than I would. I thought Bosa and that whole defensive line kind of got a little bit of a raw deal against the Rams. Because I do remember a lot of times where they were getting pressure on Stafford and Stafford would step up and make a pass or something like that. So you're not getting a sack, and he's not running for his life like Brock Purdy, so people don't look at it as them getting pressure. You know what I mean? And I thought they did that more than they got credit for in that Rams game. Nick Bosa had 2 sacks in the Minnesota Vikings game. And then we talked about it. I talked about it with Kyle, and he understood, and there's an aspect to this as well. Like, you can scheme against a bad offensive line sometimes. It's like, yeah, well, our offensive line stinks. I'm not very mobile back here as a quarterback. Let me get the snap from out of the shotgun. 1-2 drop, get the ball out of there. You know what I mean? And that doesn't necessarily mean the defensive line or Nick Bosa or anybody isn't doing their job. It's kind of being schemed away from being able to do that. I wonder if one of the things that we talked about last week, knowing that was the case, and that could be the case for Jacoby Brissett, did they have the corners in press coverage a little bit more and give the defensive line an opportunity to affect the game? Because even on Fred Warner's interception, Leonard Floyd created the pressure. You go back and see that. He created the pressure. He's right there with Jacoby Brissett as he lets go of the ball. And you got to think maybe him feeling that pressure made him speed up the pass a little bit more or something like that. So I thought Nick Bosa specifically did a good job, but I thought the defensive line answered the bell as well.
Wholeheartedly agree.
You know, one aspect that I want to see be better. I don't want to say I didn't like, but I want to see be better. We didn't really get a chance to really talk about it on Friday because it kind of showed up as the show was ending and we just kind of watched it and didn't really get an opportunity to like dive into or even comprehend what was going on. Yeah. Was the Brandon Ayuk stuff. And 2 for 48
the video
is another game. I mean, maybe he was open a couple times or whatever. He did have a couple of nice catches or whatever the case may be. But he's got to be better all the way around. He's got to be better as a teammate and a leader. Not saying he's a bad teammate, but little stuff like that, like the shorts.
He's got to be better in that. I agree. In that regard, I do think that he does. I'm not going to fault him for the game, though.
Do you think he's
not out there doing what he needs to do?
I don't know that. I don't watch enough film to know that. But I do know, like you, and he may still get there. It's only 4 games in. But you signed a contract for a certain level of production and being expected out of you. And there's only so many times that we can say, like, oh, he's getting open, but Brock isn't finding him. You mean Brock is, like, icing him out? Brock is finding everybody. He's getting the ball to everybody. But just for whatever reason, he never getting to Brandon Ayuk. Like, no, you got to
find
a
way,
even if it's a talk that you got to have with Brock or work extra after practice to get on the same page or something like that. Like, 2 for 48 ain't worth $30 million a year.
Okay, so two things. True Down's comment standing out to me. He's saying, I definitely seen Bosa in the backfield yesterday. Yeah, you're right. Bosa was very anxious to get at the quarterback yesterday.
Well, I knew he was going to have a good game.
We all should have known that Nick Bosa was going to have a good game yesterday.
Next Sunday, too. Hey, matter of fact, he's about to go off. We got the Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Chiefs, and the Cowboys.
Oh, my God. Defensive player of the year loading.
He's about to go off.
Defensive player of the year loading. Now, back to Brandon Ayuk. The ball was moving around yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Ayuk did have a big play. Debo had a big play. Kittle had the touchdown. Juwan had a big play. Juwan had another really kind of big game. I think that was kind of the flow of the game. Now, if you watch film or if they watch film and can say otherwise, like, hey, you're not coming out of your route stronger or whatever you say to receivers. I'm not going to try to do that. But like whatever receivers and offensive coordinators or head coaches do to put their guys in the best spot, if they feel like he's not doing it, then that's an entirely different conversation. But the way that the ball was moving yesterday and then the way they went to Jordan Mason in the second half, I didn't have as big of an issue with Ayuk yesterday, especially because he had that one big play early in the game. I was really hoping that was leading to something.
Yeah, me too.
But it didn't. Yeah. It led to a Debo big play. And then it led to a Juwan big play. Then it led to a Kittle touchdown. Like, all of those things were just kind of, it was just the flow of the game yesterday, in my opinion.
And to be fair to the situation, it's probably maybe it's angst or whatever. It's compounded by what we saw on Friday. Like, little things like that. Like, what are we doing, man? Like, I guess my thought would be, like, where's your mind at right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's your head at right now? Because that's unacceptable, doing that type of stuff. And it's not the biggest thing in the world. It's like Kyle said, it's not a finable offense, suspended. It's nothing like that. But it's just like, yo, let's...
It's detail. Yeah. Like, I got it. Pay attention.
Yeah.
That's why you're not getting open. That's why this season is starting the way that it is detail.
Mm-hmm.
The small, are you practicing differently because your shorts are red? No. Mm-hmm. It's a detail that you're not paying attention to.
Right.
And
or
at that
not
level,
taking seriously.
You can't. Well, yeah.
Not taking seriously because everybody else is.
So you don't think he did it on purpose?
What
wore red shorts while everyone was wearing black or whatever, if it was vice versa, whatever. You think he did it on purpose? I don't think he did it on purpose.
the only conceivable argument that he didn't do it on purpose was he forgot he had him on. Like, he was wearing them around the locker room, got his helmet, oh, man, come on, time to get ready for practice, and jogged out there and forgot he had them on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only argument to, like, yeah, he didn't do it. Other than that, if it's not that, if you rule that out, then I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he did it on purpose. I'm like, 90, because what else would be
with,
the reason?
What's the end goal with that?
That's what we're trying to find out. Are you upset because you're not getting the same numbers that you got last year to start off? Are you frustrated? Are you acting out because of that? Are you trying to be difficult?
None of this crossed my mind. None of it. I honestly thought he threw some shorts on and went out, and maybe he realized everyone was wearing black shorts. I don't know what I don't know if practice says, hey, black uniform today, black whatever. I don't know how that works. But I looked at it more of, especially the way Kyle was talking to him, and then what he ultimately did is, you know, either switched on his black shorts or just played in his tights or whatever. But it was like, bro, what are you doing? This is why you're missing stuff right now.
I haven't paid attention to any of this before Friday, but just recall and thinking, I've never seen anybody in red shorts out there, which is like, bro. It's like a uniform at school, and you got to wear navy pants with a blue tie and a white shirt, and you've done that for the 4 years you've gone to that school, and then you go to school and you put on.
Do you wear uniforms in McClatchy?
No. We got to wear whatever we wanted to.
I've seen the pictures with the fake glasses, and I've seen those.
And then one day you just wake up and you say, I'm going to wear red pants today. Oh, I didn't even realize I was wearing red pants today. Like, what? You've been doing this for 4 years.
It was like Fresh Prince. You just turned them inside out.
Turn the jacket inside out. But yeah, if he's going for 7 catches and 125 yards, nobody's talking about this. You know, it's not a big deal. But it happened. And he's not going for 7 catches and 125 yards.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where.
Does he just need one?
Maybe.
Like,
maybe.
Like you just have that moment and it's kind of like, and you move on.
Yeah. Maybe so. The other thing about it is you're getting paid $30 million. You would hope, and it's not a prerequisite, but you would hope you would turn into a bit of a leader on this team.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it with the last two guys to get money. Nick Bosa is a captain this year. Mm-hmm. He got paid, and he's, you know, tried to turn up his leadership skills. Mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel got paid. He's a captain now.
Mm-hmm.
And you would hope with that type of contract, you accept that type of, okay, I need to step my game up and be an example to everybody on this roster. Those two have done it. You would hope that would happen with Brandon Ayuk, but it seems like it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really one of the more disappointing things that I saw yesterday was just not a big game from Brandon Ayuk.
Mm.
Now, like I said, if Friday didn't happen, I'm probably not even thinking about this. I can admit that. But you combine the two, like Friday happens, and he's still not having another good game or, you know, big time game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? What are we doing? And then I'm listening to our guys this morning, the morning roast, and you got to reevaluate things and be like, this is why, especially in this system, you don't pay a wide receiver $30 million.
Hmm.
Now, they were in a position where, yeah, you probably just got to pay him now because it's time to get the season going. You want everybody here, whatever the case may be. But the offense is not the problem. Do you know what I mean? And Brandon Ayuk's not producing.
Mm-hmm.
They just... Not saying he's as good or anything, but they just found another Brandon Ayuk. Here, Juwan Jennings, you get 100 yards per game. So, Deebo, we'll get you for a deep pass. Like, it to a certain degree, some people believe, Kyle, it is plug and place at the wide receiver position. So I'm not saying you pay him league minimum, but $30 million for a wide receiver in this system seems excessive. And now it's in question. I would have paid.
That's fair.
But
it, no, yeah, like it's fair. It's fair. It's early. We'll see. Hell, he could do this all. He could do this for 17 games. But when those postseason games gets here, if all of a sudden the proverbial switch is flipped,
postseason BA,
yeah, then it's a whole different conversation. There's a Kings practice tomorrow. How dope was it seeing? I don't know why, but when I saw the first picture, I think it was Sean. He just posted. It was like a 10-second video. Uh-huh. Seeing DeMar in the Kings jersey, it was kind of like, oh, man, is this okay? This is pretty dope. And then the chat said, hey, unblock KC.
Oh, thank you.
He posted, that might have gotten you off permanent unblock status.
Thank you. I got boxing that I have to tweet about a little later. So, and the Powerverse. You might want to stay off for the Powerverse.
it's too late. KC, this is a true story. KC says to me, we're talking about Mary J. Blige is going to be at the Golden One Center on March 8th. Mm. And I had gotten that in our notes. It's official now. It's out there.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, Mary, it's a Saturday, too. It's Ooh. Not Tuesday night. It's Saturday night, March 8th. Mary J. Blige is here. And KC goes, hey, are you caught up on Power? I was like, no, I'm an episode behind. Minutes. Maybe not even minutes, plural. Maybe minutes. Maybe 60 seconds later, this individual spoils the episode of Power. And I looked at her, and Kenny goes, oh! And she goes, what? Oh, and this was my favorite part. This is my favorite part. She got mad at him because
how'd I get in
Jasmine
trouble?
Got mad at Kenny because Kenny didn't tell her that I hadn't seen it.
Well, you want to hear the other best part about it? She don't. Number one, she don't watch the show.
Yep.
Number two, she hadn't seen the episode.
That's amazing.
She just knew what happened.
Amazing, amazing. And I don't care. Like it doesn't bother me. But it was watching that. Marital reaction was very, very funny.
Oh, and that
because Jasmine's first instinct was to be upset with you, which I can appreciate. That's usually my first instinct.
I'm like, what did
is
I
to
do?
Be upset with Kenny?
How'd I get in this?
Hey, Complex didn't. Dot, dot, dot. God damn it, Kenny! I swear. So I just love that I'm not the only person with that natural instinct.
And
I've heard Reese do it, so I know Reese does it too.
Ryan's the only one who doesn't.
Well.
That's it. That's my baby.
You better hold on to that one as long as you can, buddy.
That reminds me, sometime soon, I would say probably after the last episode, we got to get J.A. I went on Thursday. I had a 20-minute conversation about the history of Power in all the books.
Today?
With J.A. No, on Thursday.
Oh.
And he's like, me and J.A. J.A.
What was Thursday? You're right. I forgot.
Me and Jay, but 20 minutes just talking to Powerverse.
I don't even think Jay likes us. We tried to book him.
he said anytime. I said, bro, you gotta come on, man. We gotta talk about this.
I think Jay also has like a weird sleep schedule. Like, I think Jay might. I used to think Sean Cunningham had the weirdest sleep schedule. Like, you text Sean. For us in the morning, Sean might respond around 1.
Yeah.
And like he might have literally just gotten up. J.A. might be worse.
2 or 3.
J.A. might not wake up till like 4. but yeah, we'll get that worked out with our guy now that we got practice tomorrow.
We got like, practice.
Like there is an
man.
Actual
Those guys
team
are
practice
there, man.
Tomorrow.
And to your original point though, it did. Like, I was sitting around or whatever, waiting for the next thing, and DeMar walks from whatever little area they come from, the locker room and stuff. It did hit a little different.
Mm-hmm.
It did hit a little mm-hmm. different. DeMar walked in kind of like the big dog, not that he was trying to, but mm-hmm. it was like, oh, that boy, he in the building.
Mm-hmm.
He in the building.
It's a Hall of Famer.
It's a Hall of Famer, man. Mm-hmm. So it hit a little different, and then seeing all 5 of those guys together, that was like, oh, okay. All right, let's get this season started, boy. Let's get this season started. Oh, boy.
Well, it starts tomorrow. Well, I guess for some, it technically started today, but it starts tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, there will be practice tomorrow. We know Kevin Herter won't be a part of the practice. You talk about news that just snuck up on us.
Yeah.
Trey Lyles won't be practicing tomorrow. Jordan McLaughlin won't be practicing tomorrow. Were you in Herter's media scrum?
I was, yeah.
The last few seconds, at least, I assume it was the last few seconds. It was the last few seconds of our video. He starts talking about playing other positions.
Yeah.
And we caught it and like, hey, let's listen to that one more time.
Yeah.
It feels like conversations have been had. Mm. It didn't feel like, at least in my opinion, Kevin, this is what you're doing.
Mm.
It felt like hey, Kev, what do you think about if we tried ...
Well, and even more so than that, and we can talk about it a lot more tomorrow, but that might have happened. Or Kevin Herter has eyes, has ears, can read.
Or he read the press release.
All this other stuff.
Sacramento Kings forward, Kevin Herter.
And he's just looking at, they got DeMar, they got Keon play really well. They got Malik Monk. Where is this another shooting guard? Maybe I should start gearing my mind towards if I want to play. This is where I may need.
Well,
to
now play. All of a sudden the Kings have a depth issue at the shooting guard position because Malik was like, I'm a guard. So we got Kevin Herter to the forward, Malik Monk the guard.
I miss Malik's scrum, man. I'm going to go back and watch
him. Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. You
I was on the road for that one.
He was Malik, man. He was Malik. And we've got practice tomorrow. We're excited to talk about it with you. Thanks for being with us today. We'll see you tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Lions!